Today being the 23rd day of August 2026, we are the next to last Sunday in the month of August. Can you believe that? It just seemed like August just got started. Tomorrow, school starts here at Carroll Christian Schools. So you pray for our teachers, pray for our students, and pray that God will bless them. Brother Dave mentioned already about the soul winning class starting up this Wednesday. I put a little note in the bulletin for you about that. If you're interested in that, I'd love to have you sign up. Man, well, I'd love to be able to have you sign up for it. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you when you do. All right, today we're going to be looking at lesson number 7 in this series of lessons entitled A Study in the Book of Acts, The Word Spreads. And today's lesson is entitled The Extension of the Church. The extension of the church. Now, as the word of God began to spread all throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the Bible talks about God's desire was for everyone everywhere to hear the gospel. I know many folks today, they have forgotten the mission of the church. They have forgotten what it's all about. It's not about building a big mega church. It's not about buildings and facilities and praise and worship and all that other stuff. That's not what it's about. It's about reaching our lost world with the message of the gospel. And folks, our theme verse today says from Acts chapter 11, verse 7 or 17, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" Folks began to get saved. Folks that were Gentile. They were considered to be the dogs, okay, by the Jewish people. They didn't have very much concern for them whatsoever. And yet God had a concern. And like Brother Dave said this morning, I believe with all my heart the Lord Jesus has not called his church out because he's not done with us here on this earth as of yet. Amen. We still have a job to get done. And what is that job? It is to reach the world with the message of the gospel. Now, as we closed out last week's lesson, we saw how that Saul of Tarsus had been sent by the brethren back to his homeland where perhaps he would have the opportunity to tell his family, to tell those friends, those co-workers that he had of his great conversion experience. Now, after they sent Saul back to Tarsus for his own protection from the Jews, basically, we read back in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You know what? When Saul got saved, his life changed. Amen? His life changed. This stuff today that you see, you can walk any way you want to walk, you can talk any way you want to talk, you can do whatever you want to do, and still call yourself a Christian is not biblical Christianity. When I got married, guess what? I haven't been on any other dates with anybody else except my wife. Amen? It would not be safe to do otherwise. But above all, I don't want to do that because I got the one I want and she's got the one she wanted, me. And when you got the best, why do you go for anything else? Amen? But you listen to me today. We've got Jesus. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Why do you want to go back to the ways of the world? Why would we ever want to go back to the things that we did before we got saved? Because those things we knew didn't work. Those things didn't help us. And you know what? It's Jesus that delivered us. He reached down in the muck and mire of this old sinful world, and He pulled us out that we might be able to go in and be with Him in heaven. And He gave us a job to do. You know what? I was thinking the other day, I've only had three jobs in my life. But really, I worked a couple months at a company during the time I was going to school. It was almost late for my own graduation because my boss had not come back to close up the company. And our graduation ceremony was just down the road at the Coliseum there in Winston-Salem. But I couldn't leave that place unlocked and unsecured. It was not in a safe place. So I had to wait on Him. And fortunately, like I said, the Coliseum's only 5 minutes down the road. And I got there, and luckily my name starts with S. So I was at the tail end of a group of 687 graduates. And so I didn't have to worry about a whole lot. But counting that job, I've only had three jobs. I worked there at Industries for the Blind for those 16 years. I was at the church I was at there in North Carolina for 24 years. And then I've been here now. God's blessed to move me here and been here now for 15 years. And you know what? I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord. And these people, wherever God moved them, they spread the word. They spread the gospel, even during the midst of persecutions. Why? Because God had a plan. And what was God's plan? What is God's plan today? God's plan is that everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody needs to know. Now, as we look at this, after the persecution was settled from Saul, the Bible said, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. Was that not the plan that Jesus gave the disciples in Acts chapter 1? You'll be witnesses, first of all, right here in Jerusalem. And then where were they supposed to go? Judea, Samaria, Galilee, all these other parts. And God was enabling them to be able to do that job. But folks, God oftentimes sends trials our way. He allows us to go through some heartaches, some persecution, some opposition at times. And that is to make us stronger in trusting Him, believing His Word, okay? Getting the milk of the Word in our soul, our body, getting the meat of the Word so that we can go and do the job that God has saved us to do. And God gave them rest for a little while so that they could be strengthened to do the job that God has given to them. I get excited about the new school year each year because we have new parents coming in. I was here Thursday night for Sophia with her mom and her brother. We're here getting her all lined up for her classes. But I watched all these new parents coming in. And you know, I'm pretty sure some of those folks are not saved, okay? But they've seen fit to put their child in Carroll Christian Schools. And so I look forward to encouraging our teachers and encouraging the staff and encouraging our soul winners and going out and reaching them during this new school year with the message of the gospel. God brings them to us for a purpose. And you know what? Our job is to reach them with the message of the gospel. And so the Lord gave the church rest. And then the Bible said, they learned to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, knowing that the Holy Ghost of God was the one that had delivered them from the persecution and all the heartaches and opposition they were going through. They had rest, they had comfort, and the Bible said then they were multiplied. And you know what? When you keep your eyes on doing what God said do, God's going to do what He said He's going to do. Amen? And He'll bless it. And that's what makes this so important. And I want you to understand today, this was fulfillment of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And what did Acts chapter 1, verse 8 say? Let me remind you what it said. Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So in this lesson today, we see how God's plan to extend His church body, His called out assembly of born again believers, we see the next step and how it continues to even take place in our world here today. Listen, this is something that Jesus started. And you know what? When Jesus Christ is in charge, God's going to bless it. God's going to bless it. That's why we got to keep the main thing. Amen? We got to do that. So let's look at it today. Acts chapter 9. We're going to start here in verse number 32, okay? And I want us to see how that Peter now ministers in Samaria. Peter here, remember, Peter had denied the Lord Jesus. Peter had said, "I don't know who he is. I don't have nothing to do with him." And he did just as what Jesus said he was going to do. He denied him three times. But three times Jesus came back to Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me?" And it grieved Peter each time that Jesus asked him that. And he said, "Lord, you know I love you." And what did Jesus do? He said, "Then if you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tell folks about me." And folks, you know what? If we love the Lord Jesus, we don't have time. We don't have trouble telling others about him. We don't have trouble about that. I had another doctor appointment. I had some blood work I had to get done the other day. And a lady I could tell was from Germany. And another lady from Dresden, the second one I've met here from Germany. One was doing scans, the other was sucking blood. And Transylvania's over in that area somewhere, I think. I'm not sure exactly. But anyway, she thanked me. She said, "Man, thank you. I had our dog, Precious, has gnawed up our door facing. And I went to a place down here that cut me a piece of metal because I got tired. I've replaced my door frame three times, and she's chewed through it every time. And so I replaced it this time with metal. And I drilled holes in the metal. I've screwed it up on the wall. If she gets through that, I'm just going to take the wall down. I think I'm just going to take the wall down. But I got out there, and this young man was driving a big old trailer. He had me booked in. I couldn't get my van out. He said, "I got to secure all this stuff on my trailer before I can move it." I said, "No problem, brother. I'll wait for you." And he got done. He said, "Thank you for that." And I gave him a gospel tract. He said, "You know what? I just moved into this area and I've been looking for a church somewhere." And he said, "Is this close by?" I said, "Just right down the road up here." I gave him directions. He said, "He knew Christ as his Savior. And I'm hoping, praying, maybe he'll be here today." You never know where God is going to use you to give out the gospel. But here, Peter, the one that denied Christ, and if Peter can be used of God, then I can be used of God. You can be used of God. And we see his ministry in Lydda here. All right? Now look at verses 32 through 35. Acts chapter 9. "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints that dwelt in Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." Now think about it just a minute. Isn't it amazing how God used this man named Peter, who was once so fearful and afraid of what was going to happen to him physically that he denied his own dear Lord? But now the power of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in him gave him a boldness. And God not only used him here in Lida, but God used him not only where he was, but he used him in other parts of the world. I thought the other day, and we were talking about this morning, I think I was talking to Trish. How could I forget what's her face? Trish and I were talking this morning about the kids that's come in from China. And all those kids, we couldn't go to China. God brought China to us. And all those kids have come in. They've heard the gospel. They've gotten saved. We've seen them come to know Christ as their Savior. And you know what? God is good. It will just determine that we're going to trust him. So Peter is being used in Lida. Now, look at verses 36 through 43. God's using Peter in Joppa. And look at this. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for so much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. Boy, I'd have fell over dead right there myself. Can you imagine that? Somebody was dead and God raised them up. But this is what a living Savior can do. Amen. This is not a Benny Hinn chicken cackling type ceremony. Okay. All that garbage. This was the power of God being put on display to show the people what a risen Savior could do. Now look at what the Bible said. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now think about it. All of this happened for one purpose. What was it? That people would come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God allowed those miracles to be done, to prove to them that these were God's men and that they were doing God's work. Now, I want you to look now how that God calls Peter to minister to the Gentiles. We go to Acts chapter number 10. This is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Acts. One of my favorite ones. Why was God doing all this? And I'll tell you why. Because God wanted everybody to know who Jesus was. He wanted everybody to know. And the person and the position of this Gentile Cornelius, we see here in verses 1 and 2. Now look at it with me. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now this is not like a marching band or anything like that. This is a band, a group of soldiers, okay? They were soldiers. And he was the centurion over them. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. You know what the Bible is telling us here? He was very religious, and yet he was very lost. You can be religious. You can give alms. You can give money. You can support the church and things like that. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're still lost. This man needed to know the Savior. He had a desire to know truth. He had a desire to have peace with God. He prayed to God all the time. And God saw this man's need and he knew his desire. So what did God do? God worked his great plan in a very miraculous way for this man named Cornelius. I want you to look at it now in verses 3 through 8. God gives Cornelius a dream, a vision. And in verses 3 through 8, Cornelius saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one, Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one, Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to know. Now let me stop right there a minute. What did he need to know? He needed to know who Jesus was. He needed to know how to be saved. Just like it was with Philip, with the Ethiopian eunuch, just like it was with all the other people that had come and they saw their need of a Savior, but they did not know what to do. God said, I'm going to send a man to tell you what you need to know, what you need to do to be saved. Folks, that's what the Soul Winners Club training program is all about. We try to take that and show you, teach you, how that you can take the Word of God and confidently share the message of the gospel with those who need to know what they must do to be saved. Now look what the Bible said. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now look at verse number 9 through 16. Not only did God give Cornelius a vision of what to do to hear the gospel, God now spoke to his man, Peter, okay, who is living in the house of one named Simon, a tanner. You know what a tanner is, don't you? They work with hides and animal skins and things. The Jews weren't supposed to do that. They weren't supposed to be around folks like that. But here we find Simon Peter lodging with this guy. Okay? And I want you to see the funniness. I don't know if that's a good word. The funniness. The humor of this. When God speaks to Peter and what Peter says. Listen to this. Verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. It was about noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He fell asleep and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as if it had a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter, being a good Jew, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now just think about how amazing God did all this. God was trying to show Peter that everybody needed to know. You know, the common man, the Gentile people, were considered to be just Gentile dogs. They were worse than dogs. Dogs were not looked at as pets. They were looked at as nuisances in those days. And you know what? That's the way, still are, somebody said, okay. But you know what? Listen, God had a purpose for those people to hear the gospel. And he did this through a vision unto Peter. And Peter is still trying to figure out, God, what are you trying to tell me here? So we get down now to verse 17, where Peter's visit to Cornelius is seen. Now look at this. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision, which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. What is God saying? Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, do my work. Peter, if you love me, don't doubt, just trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then he said, for I have sent them. You know what this was? This was a divine appointment. Amen? What we call a divine appointment. God sent someone to the soul winner because the soul winner didn't understand what God wanted him to do. Now, while Peter's sitting here thinking about all this stuff, trying to figure out, God, what are you trying to tell me? God said, son, just go with them. Trust me. I got a job for you to do. Now, look at this. He goes on. The Bible said, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I'm he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. Can you imagine this? Folks are waiting for somebody to come and tell them about Jesus. Folks, that's what we've got today in our world. Folks are waiting for somebody to come and tell them. But who will be willing to go? The Bible said here, on the morrow, Peter went away with them. Certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Why? Because everybody needs to know who Jesus is. Amen. Now look at this. Therefore, Peter says, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we're all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. These folks wanted to know. They were longing. They had been praying for somebody to come and tell them. How many times have you and I gone to houses And we come in there, we say we're out visiting from church, the open door. We're wanting to talk to you today. And if something were to happen to you today and you were to die, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And they look at us and they say, well, you know, I've been thinking about that and I just don't know. I wish somebody could tell me. And we say, that's why God sent us. Amen. And the Bible said here, Peter's message is shown here in verses 34 through 43. Let me read this to you. Then Peter opened his mouth. Boy, does that not sound like Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch? He turned to the place in Isaiah where the eunuch was reading. And Philip opened his mouth and he preached unto him what? Jesus. Jesus. And the Bible said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. And him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give all the prophets witness, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Man, does this not sound just exactly what happened with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Does this not sound like the same things that have been preached all the way from the first chapter of the book of Acts to where we are now? The gospel message does not change. Great things always happen when God's children are simply willing to obey the Lord and go and tell the folks, declare the word of God, and show them what they must do in order to be saved. And then, you know what happens next? When you come back next Sunday, I'll tell you. Man, I'm to the point, I got to shut it down. You got to be back next week. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. And brother, something good is about to happen, amen? And you know what? Something good always happens when we go out and we tell folks about the Savior. Listen, if God is speaking to your heart today about what you can do for him, could I suggest to you that you try, first of all, being obedient and just be willing to present the message of the gospel to everybody that you meet? You know what? If you want to be used of God, whether you're in the nursery, you're in the school, you're in the choir, whatever you do, if you'll learn how to tell folks about Jesus, God can use you anywhere, anytime. Let's pray just a minute. Father, I love you, Lord, and I thank you, dear God, for your goodness and your mercy. And I pray now, Father, that you'll bless this lesson. Help us, Lord, to get excited about living for you and serving you, God, and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that's why you've saved us. God, that's why you've blessed us the way that you have. And Lord, we want to be used of you in a great, mighty way to see people saved and then grow in the Lord so they can go out and tell others as well. Bless now our pastor as he stands to preach. Help us, Lord, today to be willing to trust and obey. For truly, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today.